I wrote this talk last week, and I'm sort of looking at it this morning, but every time I look at it, the Lord keeps speaking to me about something slightly different, so we'll see how we go with it. But as I was sitting here just now, waiting to come up to give the talk, I felt the Lord ask this question: who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It's a question that Jesus said to Peter. And Peter's response was, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're the prophet. But he said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus, no doubt with a smile in his eye and his face, said to him, he said, you know, the Father has showed you that. But you see, how we understand who God is everything to do with how we walk our lives out. If God is a provider, we have faith that God provides. If God is in charge of everything, we have no fear about tomorrow because God's in charge. So who do you say that I am? It's the key. So let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning in expectation. We thank you for your word that gives us an understanding and insight to who you are, your nature, your character. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for each one of us here. We thank you, Lord, that you're the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that when you say it, you will do it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to step out into the things of your kingdom and not to be timid or to stand back, but to step out with courage because you are what you say you are. And so Lord, help us this morning to understand more of that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you turn with me to Acts 8, verse 26, which will be, I'll be looking at it a bit later on, so I'll be kind of introducing it. And it's a story of the Ethiopian and Philip. And the funny thing was this morning when we were praying, it's one of the things that's brought up this morning, is the Lord had been speaking to a particular person all this week about that particular passage. But when I was looking at it initially, the three things that came out of it were hear, obey, and wonder. So what would our lives be like if we not only heard God's voice, but we did what he asked us to do? What would our lives be like if we dared to step out in obedience to God? Have you ever wondered where you'd be? What you'd be doing? That tomorrow could be a very different day from today. Have you ever wondered? And I just want to hold that a moment. Have you ever wondered? See, what I love about following the Lord is you never know what is around the corner. What adventure you may be entering into. See, adventure starts with obedience to the call of God, and wonder happens when you enter into it. And when God speaks to us, God can fulfill things like that. But he also calls us into relationship with him, doesn't he? And so often, dreams become a reality when we take time to listen to God, to spend time with him, to hear what he thinks about things. Jesus spent many times of his life in prayer because he wanted to find out what the Father was doing and is doing, then he wants to be obedient to what the Father was doing. And if we look at Jesus' life, he lived a life full of wonder. And I remember a few years ago, I was working in the city, and I was working for a production company, and we're editing programs like Watchdog and Health Check and all those kind of programs. It's really tedious, by the way. It sounds great, but it's really boring work. And as I was driving into work, I used to put on, in those days we had CDs rather than CDs. I mean, so we had, I had a cassette rather than a CD. So. And in the morning, I used to go into work and so quite early on. And as I was driving along the car, I used to, this particular track used to stand out again and again and again. And it's a song that goes, will you worship? Will you bow down? Will you give me your heart? Will you give me your everything? And I used to hear it time and time again in the car. And one morning, you know, sometimes as the Lord puts his touch to something, it illuminates it and it becomes real. And as I was listening to it, the Lord says to me, are you going to worship me? Are you going to give me your heart? Are you going to give me everything? And I said yes. But you know, when you say yes, you don't quite know what that means, do you? And the Lord said, would you give up your family for me? Would you give up your relationship? I was going out with someone for 2 years at the time, thinking I was probably going to get married to the person. Praise God, I met Catherine instead. Far better. But at the time, you don't know, do you? And so I was in a situation where God said to me, I want you to lay down everything. And so I was driving along in the car on a summer's day, thinking, okay, God, I'll do that. Saying it, but my body hadn't caught up with what I'd said. And within about 3 days, my relationship was over. Stop laughing, it wasn't funny at the time. It's quite painful at the time, but I've moved on. But it was... Then the job. I was in the job, and the Lord says to me, when are you going to start working for me? I thought I was. And so I wrote a couple of letters out to different people saying, you know, I feel that might be called to full-time ministry. What do you think? And they wrote back to me saying, one guy said, why don't you come up to America and spend a year with me and see how the Lord has called you and everything. But in the meantime, I must go back a little bit. When I was negotiating with the Lord, you know, you try and negotiate. It doesn't work very well, but he allows you to say something. I said, the one thing, if I break this relationship over, can you please take me out of the country? So that's the one thing. So anyway, laid it all down, and suddenly the Lord, bang, everything, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and cut all these things around me. And suddenly, I was left with what God had been left me, which was to go up to America for a year. And it was, suddenly, I was in a place where I had laid down things, and it was just an amazing time being out there, laying down things. I remember someone saying to me, the guy who actually led the church, a guy called David Parker, is a wonderful man. He said, sometimes we've got to get a life in order to lay it down. Do you get that? Sometimes we've got nothing to lay down because, you know, it's not much. But actually, God loves when we offer something that is precious. But the great thing about God is I know he gives it back to you. I tell you, he blows you when you lay down to the Lord. He doesn't half. When he knows your heart, there's nothing he cannot give you. And I'm not saying material or anything like that, but it's that relationship with him. So I'm rewriting all my stories live, you see. And the same way, it's when Catherine and I were finishing, we were doing our curacy, we're coming towards the end of it. And I began to set more time aside than usual to go and hang out with the Lord. And it was as I began, there's a particular area I was to go with these woods, and I was to go and walk and pray and walk and pray. And I'm one of these people that I find it hard sitting down and just praying. I don't know about you, I actually like doing something. So you can pray different ways, so it's not just sitting in the room. And as I was out walking, I just began to lay to say, Lord, you know, please, would you open up the next step for us? Would you please provide a way in order for us? And you know, you never know, so you just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And I told you a while back, a few weeks ago, I was woken in the night, I had a dream of a city full of pubs. It wasn't a nightmare, it was a dream. It's actually quite a nice one. And in the centre, the housing was very close together. And it reminded me of the time when I was younger, I used to live in Cornwall. And there are lots of little streets. And in the dream, asked providing the community with food. Then another time I was out walking, and I've shared this before, but it's a cloudless sky, and in my mind's eye, I began to see these blue balloons hovering over the city. One was a balloon of a guitar, one was of music, one was of a lectern, and one was of a speaker. And it's over a big city. And as you know, looking back on it, the colour blue is Dublin. The things that God's called Cass and I to worship music, which we haven't had the time yet, but it's something that God's put in our heart that we want to really begin to work with the prophetic worship in the church. Also with the word and with the lectern, you know, God speaking. At the same time as that, walking in the same woods, and there's a path full of mud that you could never walk along. And at the time, I was praying out to God, saying, "Lord, please provide a way, please provide a way, please provide a way." And one day, I came back to the same place, and the Forestry Commission had come in there and built a path along the place you couldn't walk, and had drainage holes in it, and suddenly this place I could never walk, you could actually walk along. And I knew that the Lord was about to open up the door, because suddenly the path I couldn't walk on was made available. And the verse that he showed me at the time was the thing out of Isaiah 43. And it's one that I believe the Lord is leading us into as a church, is this one here. "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And you see, the Lord wants to speak to each one of us. The Lord wants us to take the time to listen to what he has to say. But when he speaks, he wants us to step out. And it's in the stepping out that God releases the promises he has for each of our lives. And that's why, if you turn with me now to the story of the Ethiopian, it gives a story about stepping out and the way that God steps in. So I'm going to briefly... So the context of this is that... the beginning of verse 8, the church in Jerusalem was under great persecution, and because of the persecution, members of that particular church in Jerusalem had scattered to Samaria and Judea and all over the place. All the people who were left behind were the apostles. It was also a time where Stephen, who was a great man of God who had been proclaiming the kingdom of God, he was persecuted and ended up giving his life as he was stoned to death for standing up against the Sanhedrin. It's also a time as Saul, who later became Paul, was at the beginning of his persecution of the church. He was sending groups of people out to find Christians, to drag them out of their homes and to put them in prison. But it's also a time of great blessing as the people scattered, they preached the word of God, and wherever they went, people came to know Jesus. It says this: "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. And as he proclaimed the word of God, the power of God came, people set free from evil, many became healed, the paralytics, the cripples, and many were healed. And so there's great joy in the city, even though the church was going under great persecution." Then goes on to see Philip and the sorcerer, which we won't go into now. And the story I want to emphasize now is Philip and the Ethiopian. So if you turn with me to verse 26, it says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And so the first part of this is an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip and he said something very specific to him. He said, 'Go south to the desert road that goes along from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And so this road would have been a well-known trade route to many people in Jerusalem. It's one that went down from Gaza to Egypt and on into the African continent. And so when the word was spoken, Philip would have known precisely what that particular road was. But the word to Philip wasn't, 'Go do this, do that, do this, do that, do this,' like my wife giving directions." It's a joke.
supposed to take?
It was go. Just go. That's the, he just said go. There's the road, go. Head towards it. So Philip started out. He didn't know the outcome, but he knew the voice. Do you understand what I mean? Do you know who I am? Who do you say that I am? If you know the person who is asking us to do, and we know what he's like, why wouldn't we want to do it? So he started out, he didn't know the outcome, but he knew the voice. See, it's when we step out that God steps in. The key to the door of opportunity was obedience. And all that Philip needed to do was to get onto the road that he'd been asked to get on. And so I want to ask the question, how many of us here need to get onto the road that God has called us to get onto? Exactly, we all do it at different times, don't we? Absolutely. And the response to Philip wasn't, he didn't say, I'll get on that road when I know why, or how long is the road, or how long it will take. He just went, didn't he? He heard the word go to the road and he went. And says it says, so he started out and on his way. You see, it's when we step out, it's not when we're passive and say, God's spoken to me and we just stand still. It's when we step out that suddenly God provides the way. And I'll not be prescriptive because God can also enter into whatever when we're standing still, of course, because that's God for you. But it's often in the stepping out, in obedience to what God has said, that God steps in. It's the same way with a large tanker, isn't it? You know the huge tankers you see with oil or whatever? They're impossible to steer if they stay in the harbour. But when they get out of the harbour, the boat can begin to steer. Because the boat is enabled to be and do what it's been created to do. And so often we like the protection of the harbour, but we're created to go on the seas and to be directed and to fulfil the purpose which God has sent. But we like to stay in that place. But God wants us to step out and to move in the direction He's leading us. And as He stepped out and as He started on His way, God's plan was released. It says this, as he started out and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? They're both on their way. Philip's on his way to Jerusalem, and the eunuch's on his way from Jerusalem. And as they both step out, God brings them together. See, obedience is the key to releasing God's wonder. It's hearing God's word, it's obeying God's word, and then God releases His wonder and power. When I was living in Harrow with my brother, I've got a great desire to share my faith, and I love to be able to share with people about Jesus, but I was one of those people who's quite scared of doing that kind of thing. But I've always longed to be someone who's been able to stand up and be able to share with people boldly my faith. And I remember when I was working, I used to get back at night and I used to plug my guitar in and worship sometimes. And I was praying at the time that the Lord would really help me to be able to share my faith, because I wasn't able to do it. I didn't have the courage, or didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what the words to say were. And so I said, Lord, please help me. And after work, we used to go down to this place called the Timber Carriage, which is a pub down the road. We used to play pool. And when I was working with my brother, he had a removal company, and we would often be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so we kind of went down there early in the evening. But there's a guy down there I met, a guy called Colin. And as I was down there, I'd been saying these prayers and I'd been asking God to help open up situations where I could share my faith. But you kind of forget the prayers as you do. And as I was down there, I began to get to know this guy, Colin, and I said to, as we got to know each other, I began to share with Colin what I believed, and Colin was kind of interested at the time. But he's going through quite a difficult time in his life, and I said to him, you know, Colin, you know, I believe in Jesus can be an answer to your situation. So I said to him, if you let me know what's going on in your life, I'll pray for you. And I said, you don't have to be too specific. And so I began to get to know Colin. He's begun to show me what's going on in his life. And I began to set aside time to pray for him. And I bumped into him a while back after and said, Colin, no, you know, I prayed for you last Wednesday. And he said to me, John, he goes, I love it when I know you pray for me, because he goes, I always have a great day. And I said to him, well, that's because of who Jesus is. And all I'm doing is asking him to bless you. And another time I went down there, there's two guys standing at the bar. And this is true, it's not a joke, but it sounds like one. There's a Protestant and a Catholic guy standing at the bar. They were debating about their faith together. And I walked in there and I overheard the conversation. And I just said to them, so you both believe in Jesus, do you? And they go to me, what? I said, you're Protestant and Catholic. What you have in common is Jesus, isn't it? They go, what do you mean? And I just began to tell them about Jesus, and I told them about who he was and what he had done for them. And I'm not saying this, I'm only saying this because of the story, but I had to leave because I had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I gave a couple of quid to one of the guys to buy himself a drink or whatever. I'm only saying that because of the story, because it has nothing to do with it. Anyway, as I was walking out the pub, I walked up the hill, and this guy chased after me. And he said to me, he goes, I've never heard what you've had to say before, and I've never seen people show me kindness who I've never met before. And I said to him, well, that's what Jesus is like. That's who he is, that's his character, that's his nature. And so I just prayed for him on the hill, and then went home and had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Another time I went out with my brother. We went to a place called the Trinity Bar in Harrow to watch the football. And this is all on the back of praying that the Lord would help. And we sat down on the table. It wasn't a particularly busy evening. The football was on, and suddenly two guys came and sat on our table, and I couldn't believe it, because I hadn't seen my brother for a while. And I thought, this is very rude of them coming sitting on our table. But they just started asking us about God. And then we began to share them about Jesus. And my brother sat on one table talking to this guy about Jesus, and I told him the other table about Jesus. And we just shared with them about who Jesus was. And you see, all I'm saying is that God helps us to do the things that we cannot do. And in those particular situations, I cried out to God to say, please can you help me, because I'm absolutely rubbish at this. Please can you help me, Lord, because I'm scared. But please can you open opportunities because I'm willing. And so he's not looking for heroes, he's just looking for us to say yes. So the first time God said to Philip, go to the road. The second time he said to Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. And what's really interesting about this is I discovered just through reading this and through reflecting. The interesting thing, do you know what the name Philip means? It means one who runs with horses. It's interesting, isn't it? And so even in the beginning, Jesus, the name, our names are very important, aren't they, to God? And so Philip, it says this, it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near to it. Then Philip ran. What was he doing? He's running with the horses. It's like great, isn't it? And he ran up to the chariot. He must have been quite fit though, mustn't he? Can you imagine running up after a chariot? I was thinking, my gosh, you know, you're running like this, trying to hear what he's having to say. And as he ran up, he heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. And in those days, people would read out loud. It's not the way we do it so much today. We're sitting at the airport with a book reading quietly. They would read the scriptures out loud. It would have been done in much more of a public way than we would do. And as Philip ran up to the chariot, as he'd been asked to do, God opened up at the opportunity because he heard him reading from Isaiah the prophet. And that gave him the way in, because he heard him hearing the word of God. Then he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch, being very honest and humble and saying, oh yeah, I'm fine, yeah, I know exactly what it says, he says, no, I haven't a clue. So he invited Philip up and to sit with him. And the eunuch was reading from a well-known passage in Isaiah. He says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And so the word of God presented, and Philip was able to say, as the eunuch again, I mean, I like the eunuch, he's not just sitting there saying, he's asking questions, he's interested, his heart, he went to Jerusalem to worship. He wants to make sense of God, but doesn't quite know what that means. And as he hears these words being read out, Philip is able then to begin to explain to him who Jesus was. And it says this, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And this is wonderful, isn't it? In the same way on the road to Emmaus. Is it the men, it says in Emmaus, doesn't it? The men were, the two people walk along the road. Jesus himself came up and walked with them. Isn't that great? And I think sometimes we've got to walk with people, don't we? Sometimes we've got to run with people, if you've been called to run with the horses. Hopefully I've been called to walk with people, it's a bit easier. But it's as we walk with people that they ask the questions, isn't it? And then we've got to make sure that we do walk with people. We're not looking for perfect people, as we're not perfect. But to get alongside people, to get alongside people in the pub, in your place of work, wherever God finds you, we've got to walk with people. And when they asked the question, Jesus said, what are you discussing together? We then have the opportunity to step in with the good news of Jesus Christ. And I love that thing, it says this, I won't say how foolish you are, that's not the bit I'm going to look. But I love the bit it says, I can't find it now, but it says that their hearts burned as Jesus, starting with the prophets, explained who he was and why he came. And so our testimonies are incredibly powerful at opening up people to the reality and truth of who Jesus is. Because we're either complete idiots, or it's true what we say. And if it's true what we say, you've got to listen, don't you? And so as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptised? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptised him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip now, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And so he'd met with Jesus, he was baptised, Philip went on his way, the Ethiopian came to know Jesus. And can you imagine how that must have encouraged Philip to continue doing what God had asked him to do? And so I want to go back to, firstly, the question that God is asking us today. Who do you say that I am? What would our lives be like if we not only heard God's voice, but he did what he asked us to? What would it be like if we dared to step out in obedience to God? Have you wondered where you would be today, what you'd be doing? For tomorrow could be a very different day. Have you ever wondered? And let's just take a moment just to be quiet and see what the Lord wants to do this morning. And let's just take a moment to just to reflect on maybe some of the things the Lord has spoken to each one of us. He might be reminding us of things he's spoken a while back. It might be things that had been noted in the journal that you'd forgotten about, but suddenly the Lord's brought it to mind. It might be that you don't know what is round the corner. What always encourages me is that in John, the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep, and Jesus says that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And each one of us here knows the Father's voice because we're His dear children. And each one of us, the Lord has a wonderful plan for. Some of us on the road, some of us need to get on the road, some of us have got to get back to where God wants us to. But I just really believe that it's a word of encouragement that when we hear and obey, we see the wonder of God in our lives. And the Lord wants to reveal again this morning His character and nature to us, that He's full of love and compassion. And His way is the best way. And as we step out, the Lord steps in. And so, Lord Jesus, we just want to pray this morning that You'd stir us up as a church, Lord. I want to pray now, Lord, that You unlock those things that we had praying before the service of like padlocks on our ears, unable to hear what God has asked us to do, or unwilling to listen. And so, Lord, we want to pray now that You would unlock those, whatever those things, they're very different for each one of us. Lord, You'll clear the wax from our ears. There will be those who hear, but those who see, and those who have soft hearts. Lord, we just want to acknowledge that you're beside us, you're walking beside us. We're not left on our own. And Lord, I pray this morning that on the same way the Emmaus Road, You opened their eyes, You would open our eyes to recognize You, to see You, to hear You, to walk with You. And I want to invite those who, it's almost like by making a step, it's like getting on the road again. And we've all got our eyes shut, so it's between you and God. So I want to invite those this morning to come up now to be prayed with, so that we can just affirm you and encourage you, and to because the Lord wants us to back on His road. He wants us to back on His plan. He wants us to be able to step out with the things He's called us to do. So I want to invite you to come now, even though you're sitting, it might feel a bit uncomfortable, but that's okay.